Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Are you stupid or something?
Stupid is what stupid does, sir.
Now Dorsett motions wide to left. Brady takes the snap. Play fake to White. Throws it to the left. Dorsett makes the catch. Turns to the far sideline and steps out of bounds with a first down scoot to the 48 of New England. Eight and over, but late for the Steelers. Third and one. From the Pittsburgh 44. Short motion from the left by McDonald. Toss to the left for Cotter, and he's going to be caught in the backfield. Jamie Collins anticipating with a burst and a takedown at the 40.
Pittsburgh has run the same exact play three times in a row. Ben tosses left. Left guard's not set. He can't get the call. He gets blown up. Loss of four.
A fourth and one for the Steelers. Out of the two-minute warning of the Patriot 47, down 17-0. Roethlisberger under center. Connor, the single back. Two receivers left, and Roethlisberger calls timeout.
They were going to run it.
False start. Offense. All alignment except for the center. It's a five-yard penalty. Replay, second down.
What's that?
I don't know what Al Michaels has said or Bill Hillgrove, voice of the Steelers. That's the call of the night from Clee Blakeman, our referee.
Look at the center.
Roethlisberger throws it to the left, air mailing it incomplete. He had two receivers in the vicinity, Moncrief and Switzer, but no chance to complete it.
Send them
in. Here comes the field goal unit.
Oh, why other teams are stupid. Oh, my God.
Are you stupid or something?
We busted it. We own it. We chew it. It sucks.
Promise as stupid as stupid does.
A lot of stupidity to go around in that game last night. A lot of stupidity by the Steelers. We knew it. We knew it was going to happen. We called it. We told you last week. This is a stupid opponent coming to town.
Of course.
They don't lack talent. They lack brains. That's what they lack. Brains.
Guts,
they lack
balls.
Coaching. Intelligence.
You know what they lacked? A feel for the game and timing.
They don't have that.
They don't have that.
Not even a little bit.
Now, there was a sequence in there that was not in why you were stupid. I got on for him earlier in the game where I thought they should have went up for it on a fourth and half a yard in their own territory. So,
the first play in that sequence that we just played in the montage of why they were stupid was a third and five play. And this one may not have stood out to a lot of people watching the game, but it was third and five in the first quarter.
What's the coverage?
6 minutes to go in the first quarter. Third and five from the New England 40. It was a short pass to Philip Dorsett, pushed out of bounds. Patriots picked up the first down. They picked up 8 yards on the play. As you heard Bob Soucy say, Joe Hayden was in coverage on the play, and he was late, and he was way off Philip Dorsett. Do you know why he was not near Philip Dorsett?
Oh, why?
And was so far away and was so late getting to him in coverage? I don't know if this came through on the broadcast. I haven't had time to go back and look.
It was the motion and just getting caught up in the...
It wasn't even the motion. There was motion on the play. Dorsett was in motion. Hayden was messing around with his mouthpiece.
Oh. Well, you don't want to knock your teeth out. Yeah. Could be expensive dental work.
I don't know what he was doing. He was like messing around with his mouthpiece. And for some reason, just like stopped playing football. And I think Joe Hayden is awesome.
I think Joe Hayden is awesome 4 years ago.
Well, as a player, his career, I think he's been a hell of a player.
He's been a good player.
They just signed him to a big contract
Huge
extension.
Contract. Yeah.
In Pittsburgh, they gave him a lot of money. I don't know why you're signing guys at his age to huge money, big extensions. I'd let him play that one out. But
did you see the size of Foster, Pouncey, and Villanueva on that left side?
But he just,
and you got a back. Go ahead.
On a third down play,
yeah,
he just stopped playing for a moment because he just was so distracted by his mouth guard.
Well, we do have Pop Warner. You have to be snapped up all four steps.
It wasn't zone either. It was man. He had a man, and the man was in motion.
He was manned up on Dorsett, and he just like sort of slowed down and stopped running with him and was so far back off the line because he's still fiddling with the mouth guard. And then Dorsett just easily picks up 8 yards in the first down.
And Dorsett knows it. Brady knows it because when you go in motion, is he going with me or not?
I'm like, what is he doing?
We got a man indicator. It's man. I'm going to run this route against man, or I'm going to run another route against zone. It's just simple stuff.
And we just had a great vantage point on that play, but I'm like, what the hell was that?
But I am absolutely floored. Your third and goal from the one, your third down call is the inside receiver trying to go vertical into the back pylon, which is one of the most low percentage type throws down and tight like that, instead of a quick slant or a pick or a bubble screen, right? Like, that's a tough throw. A guy going up the field, away from you on an angle, and you're going to loft it perfectly at that pylon, and you don't want to throw a pick there. But yet, they got 6'8", Villanueva is left tackle. Foster's a massive man at left guard. Pouncey's one of the best setters in the league. And you have a hard running back in Connor. You're third and goal for the one. You're down, and you don't try to run stuff that thing twice over the left side, and you kick a field goal. If I was that offense, I would have walked off the field. I would have walked right in the locker room, actually. Not to the bench, to the locker room. Because that's a ball game. You just quit. You give your team no chance. Then it became comical. Well, how many field goals will they need after this? Eight. If they get eight field goals, it'll be a tight game. And I couldn't believe they kicked a field goal down and tight. Could not believe it. I got on them for not punting that for punting that first time. I wanted them to go for it there because I think when you come in here, you need to do something different. You need to have plays that take control of momentum in the game against New England and get New England on their heels. And not once did Pittsburgh do that. Only time they really did was, I thought it was Jason McCourty busting a coverage. Or maybe, I got to go back and look at this thing from the high angle again. It could have been Daron Harmon taking a poor angle over. Because McCourty had great positioning going up the sideline on that long 45-yard pass that Ben perfectly threw in there. Because McCourty pulled up about 25 yards downfield, just like stopped. And I think he thought Harmon was coming over the top, and Harmon sort of took an underneath angle, and then he ended up chasing. But other than that, what did Pittsburgh do? Nothing. 83 yards first, nothing. They've had the entire offseason to get ready for this game.
You like the shotgun toss on third and one, by the way? Do you like that play?
Oh, I like, you know, I like running. We do this in Pop Warner, too. Like, if a play works, you know what? If a play works, here's what we're going to do.
Run it four times in a row.
Line up. Do it again. Tight end. Call bunch right. Put the tight end way out. Flex him out. Bring him in short motion. Get Ben in the gun. We're going to toss to the tight end side motion. Oh, we only gained 1 yard there. Oh, shoot. Let's run it again. Oh, 2 yard loss. Third down. Guess what we're going to do? We're going to run it again. I mean.
We got all this money tied up in DeCastro, Pouncey, and Foster. We're going to run outside on a shotgun run in third and one.
Yeah. Steelers. Made of steel. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Play the fight song, Jim. No, don't play it. That's insulting to this current crew. Old Steelers, they would have pounded that right up in the middle. Go back to the bus. Not the bus, but Jerome Bettis. You had Bettis in the backfield, they'd run him. They'd run freaking Parker. They'd run it. Antoine Randall well.
Yeah, back when they had good offensive coordinators like Bruce Arians and Todd Haley. Who? Randy Fichter? Like, is that the offensive coordinator?
Damn near killed her. Yeah. That Randy. Yeah.
I'm going to get us in trouble.
Oh, please. That one.
And defensively, the theme of the night was just Tom Brady's been shredding zones in cover two for 20 years. And you guys just want to keep rolling it out. What are you doing?
Not touch Julian Edelman. I don't care. I don't care if you get lit up for 45.
Stupid.
Then almost it should have happened.
You stupid team.
Hey, New England doesn't have a tight end. You know what? Keith Butler, I want you to hit number 11 all day long. Not once did they jam Julian Edelman.
Stupid morons.
I sit there with Ninkovich during the preseason. We're doing a TV together, and he goes, it amazes us as a team sometimes. We sit there and film. We watch other teams prepare and how they look at our offense. And they can't come to grips with, boy, if we just disrupt their timing a little bit, which requires me to do this. One hand check. Edelman, it's coming over. Boom. That's what we're taught. When we play these offenses that are fast and have that bunch routes and do the stack stuff, and you know they're coming on crossers, you know what we do? We sit, we hit, we punch. Just that little punch takes half a second of timing off.
Do you know what?
They never did that.
Do you know what the Steelers, why they're lucky? They're lucky that the Patriots haven't figured out their red zone offense yet. They're lucky. Patriots, that's one of the things you can look at last night and say the Patriots, well, that's something they're going to work on because they haven't quite figured out what they're doing in the red zone yet. And obviously, Antonio Brown is walking through the door, so things are about to get significantly better. Yeah, that'll help quite a bit. But they haven't figured that out, and that wasn't figured out last night. Had it been figured out, the Patriots are hanging 50 on the Steelers last night. Mm. The Steelers are lucky in that regard.
True. You think Brian Flores is having a good day today?
Yeah, they scored seven times.
Yeah. Brian Flores is sitting there looking at this going, Pittsburgh had one conversion on third down. One.
And they scored seven times. They had one turnover, and they didn't have any sacks, did they?
Who?
Patriots didn't have any sacks, did they?
Mm. No, they hit him.
They got to him.
They got to the feet. He got rid
of the ball. They scored seven times without field position being flipped on a long sack or like a turnover or something like that.
Correct.
Right.
Yep.
Right. No, they hit him and the ball came out and then they recovered. Pittsburgh fell on the football. That's what they had. 617.
Just one sack in the box score. That's it.
617-779-0985. Let's get back to your calls. Let's talk about Antonio Brown. We've got that coming up in Read and React at 11:36.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
There. It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Are you stupid or something?
Stupid is what stupid does, sir.
Now Dorsett motions wide to left. Brady takes the snap. Play fake to White. Throws it to the left. Dorsett makes the catch. Turns to the far sideline and steps out of bounds with a first down scoot to the 48 of New England. Eight and over, but late for the Steelers. Third and one from the Pittsburgh 44. Short motion from the left by McDonald. Toss to the left for Cotter, and he's going to be caught in the backfield. Jamie Collins anticipating with a burst.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. LineMA.org.
Casts. I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Antonio Brown was definitely going to be released or traded by Pittsburgh. The chosen destination, one of them, was New England. So his camp reached out to the Patriots, but there was no way the Steelers were going to trade him to New England. So here he is in his chosen destination, you might say, by way of a connecting flight. Kraft also told me that when he broke the news to Tom Brady yesterday, Brady initially said, I'm 100% in. 2 minutes later, Tom came back, said to Kraft, I'm 1,000% in. Then he came back 2 minutes later, said, I'm 1,000,000% in. And finally, I just talked to Drew Rosenhaus, who made the deal, who's Brown's agent. And Drew said that Brady told Brown, come move in with me until you get settled in New England. How happy is Tom?
That is Scott Zolak's friend, Al Michaels. Al Michaels repeatedly sent over bowls of mashed potatoes to our booth last night at Gillette Stadium.
Class act.
I don't know what the hell that was all about.
What
was that?
I missed out.
Oh, well, okay, later.
I missed out on pregame. He came over to say hi to me,
yeah,
which touched me. You know, like that guy, he's tops of the business.
Touched him.
touched me. It did. Like, hey, Al was here looking for Al who? Al Michaels. Like, what? Yeah, let's say, come over and say hi to Scotty. You know. And Al, you know, as he always does, says, hey, we stayed at the Four Seasons. Impeccable weekend in Boston. Loves coming to Boston. Ate at Mistral. And another restaurant. They'll go unnamed on Saturday night. Loved them. Loved them both.
Why is he going to go unnamed?
Because I forgot the name of it.
Because I can't name it.
Like it was some sort of big secret. Like, I'm like, wait, why is it going to go unnamed? Like when, it's probably
when,
great.
You know, when Ken went to, yes, it is. It. Sorella.
Sorrell?
Sorrell, I think. Yes, Sorrell. Because I thought it was like Ken and like Ocala.
Ocala, Florida.
Prosecuto.
Prosecuto. We got the bread, the pros. Let's eat. You know?
By the way, we got to fix that charcuterie commercial that's running.
Why?
Production.
I don't think we need to fix it.
Why?
It's still running.
You, like charcuterie?
Yeah, you're not. You don't properly say the word charcuterie.
Why never say like measurement? You know, same thing.
It's not a vowel sound issue. Yeah.
Okay. Oh. But that's Al Michaels talking about Tom Brady.
Charcuterie.
And yeah, you know how to say it. We know you know how to say it. But when you read it off the page, you didn't say it right in the commercial.
That's probably how Roger told me to take it. Say it.
So
I blame Roger.
That is Al Michaels relaying a conversation he had with Robert Kraft about a conversation he had with Tom Brady. And Tom Brady pretty much confirmed that conversation post game while also expressing some displeasure about it being out there.
So listen to that, though. So Robert breaks it to Tom. Tom then leaves. Who's he go talk to? Is it Josh? Is it Bill? Does he go to Bill and say, is this really true?
What do you mean?
Like, oh, I'm 100% in. That's great, Mr. Kraft. And then did Tom not know this? Did not Bill not indicate it to Tom that, hey, we're going after Antonio Brown. We're bringing him in.
Oh, I don't know.
So maybe, and they said he came back 2 minutes later and said, I'm 1,000% in. And then I'm 1,000,000% in. Like, he went and got some affirmation after speaking to Robert. So you go down and talk to your offensive people and your head coach.
Oh, say, is that why you think he kept texting back?
Let's go.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Here's Tom after the game.
Robert Kraft told Al Michaels from NBC that you related that you were 1,000,000% in on Antonio Brown. Are you excited about the addition of him and what he can do for this team? And do you see at all any difficulty in having him assimilate to the team?
Yeah, I think everybody's excited to add, you know, great players. It helps everybody when, you know, you have great players that are sharing the burden of a tough football season. So I think, you know, like anything else, you know, whether it was Josh last year or Phillip, when he got here a few years ago late, and then, you know, this year Antonio, you know, how much can you learn and process and get in here, and we're all going to work hard and try to get up to speed as fast as possible. But we haven't had a training camp together or that, so it's, you know, you got to force a lot of information, and, you know, we're all excited to have him. And all I could say is we're just going to work as hard as we possibly can to get up to speed as quickly as possible.
Yep.
Tom, yeah, just follow up, because it said you went from 100 to 1,000 to 1,000,000% in.
That was personal conversation with RKK. I got to reevaluate.
Tell him. That's where he gives him the full details. Oh, he said you went from 100 to 1,000. He's like, wait, what should he tell you guys? What is this?
It's going to be real simple, Tom. Hitch, slant, double move go. Just those three routes. Get the hitch, give it to him, let him run. Run that bubble screen with him. Oh, man, can't wait for that. He's a game breaker on the slant. The best thing about this player, and I've heard all the Randy Moss comparisons, I'd take him over Randy Moss because of the explosiveness, the game breaker ability that he has in the return game, just catching a slant. Randy never had that. Randy had another gear downfield. And Randy knew how to slow his body down and shield it and then go and accelerate to the ball. You know, the taller receivers have that. Randy never really wanted to go over the middle. Randy didn't want to run digs. Randy didn't want to run slants. He'd run a slant or two, but don't be throwing that ball high in there, Tommy. I'll be doing this. You know, nope, no more of that right here. This guy has got balls to go over the middle.
Well, Antonio Brown will run any route you want him to run. And he could do all of them. He can run every route. The thing is that you're so used to seeing him run these go routes and on the highlight reels, right? That is the highlight reel play for Antonio Brown. He runs the go route where he just blows everybody away.
Then does a flip
down the field scores a touchdown.
I'll see that next week.
I had 15 touchdowns last year. 7 of them were on the go route. Just see ya. Like, he could do that on every play if he wanted to. But that's not what he's limited to. He's the most versatile receiver of the upper echelon receivers in the NFL.
It's one of the few guys Belichick has called elite prior to a game. Like, oh, he's a good player. They're all good players. Got a lot to handle, but No, special. They're elite. He's elite.
Yeah, I mean, there are, I say all the time, there are five receivers that are in the elite group of receivers in the league.
Yeah.
Which Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham Jr., Mike Thomas, I think, is in that. Michael Thomas down with the Saints.
That guy competes.
DeAndre Hopkins. There's five guys right there that I look at and say, yeah, okay, these are all the elite guys. Antonio Brown is the most versatile guy in that group. He can do it all. There's nothing he can't do, which is my long way of saying there is no debate about Antonio Brown's talent. None. We don't even need to debate it. There's no debate about how good this guy is. Why are we even going to talk about that? That's not what this is about. The only debate on Antonio Brown is he going to keep it together? Is he going to come in here and work? Is he going to show up every day ready to go? Is he going to show up every day and do the off-the-field work that is required to be ready for Sundays?
Yeah. See, wherever he's been the last 2 years, whenever he walks in a room, everybody is in awe of him. Like, oh, there's AB. Oh, there's 84. Oh, look, he's got those gold pads underneath. Ooh, look how flashy. Look at his shield. Yeah, it's just this dynamic. What a personality. Everybody's in awe of AB. When AB walks into here, has walked in, is he in awe of this place? And if he is, that's good. And you're going to wait till he speaks first. Because you kind of know, like, any of these new guys that come in, the first time they talk or go to a podium, I'm here to do what's right for the team. I'm here to help the team. Like, if they black wand him, then you got a shot. If not, hey, man, I'm coming in. They got to give me the ball. You know, like, you get that first week, it might not go so well. So if it doesn't, yeah. And it's a risk you got to take.
I just think when you're talking about the Patriots, what we talk about today, their win last night, is just an example. And Philip Dorsett being the guy that was a big factor in the win. We talk about how smart he was, how smart the offense was.
Right.
How easy it was for them to just come out and kick the crap out of the Steelers just because they're smart and prepared for the game.
See, that's going to be a big...
Not relying on every physical tool or physical aspect that I know Antonio Brown has, but that's not the way the Patriots have typically needed to win or want to win.
Yeah.
And so it's great to have the talent, but you've got to have that other aspect with it here too.
See, I remember when Todd Haley was receiver coach down with the Jets, my brief time down with the New York Jets, and receiving crew was Corbett, Ward, and a guy by the name of Keyshawn Johnson. Keyshawn Johnson every day would F with Todd Haley. And I don't know if it was a respect thing, but he would give it to him, you know, and it's just like Haley didn't run that room. So Joe Judge, who's just really good special teams coach, is now also the receivers coach. So now he's got this on his plate. So this is where they need to be careful, where I think Josh and Tom need to be heavy into these meetings. You know, when you're going over stuff and you're watching it, because you go back to last year with Pittsburgh, what did Brown get upset with? The attention that Juju Smith-Schuster got. You know, get voted, you know, team MVP or offensive MVP. Juju's getting all the balls. If AB's sitting there looking at this film today, watching, like, I think he has really good respect for Edelman. So I think he's going to expect Edelman to get the ball, right? And Josh. But if he's looking, he's like, why is Dorsett getting that ball like that? Like, if that bugs him, they got to nip that. You got to understand
how?
The role. I don't.
How does that happen?
Can role. Troy Brown help with that?
Yes. Yeah, that's a good point, too.
Non-coach Troy Brown? Untitled?
Josh McDaniels has confirmed that he's coaching.
We all know he's coaching.
He said he's entered the coaching profession, so. That's confirmation.
He's not officially like in the press guide.
No, but that's confirmation that he's a coach.
I had some conversations prior to the game. Bill doesn't like a lot of titles with guys. He just doesn't care. He's like, we're all going to coach. Everybody get in a room. We're coach. We're helping everybody. We don't need titles. Who needs a title?
Antonio Brown needs a title.
Yeah, receiver. How about that? Receiver.
There's not one part of you that feels like a little bit upset about, not upset, but just like, doesn't it feel weird? As a fan of the team, to have this guy coming in,
because it's everything you preach against.
I just don't get it though.
We called this guy an a-hole for 3 weeks.
What's Troy Brown going to say to Antonio Brown that makes this all better?
No, it makes this all better, but it's the help from everybody, and I think it's Josh, it's Tom. I mean, like, I don't know if you break up and just leave this guy alone with Joe Judge in the room.
Antonio Brown wants guaranteed money, wants another big contract.
So he's got that right
now. If we get to November and December and he doesn't have enough catches, doesn't have enough touchdowns, doesn't have enough statistics to go back out on the market in free agency and get another monster big contract with a ton of guaranteed money, you don't think by the end of the year he might start bitching about, I don't have enough touches, you don't feed me the ball enough? Oh, but Troy Brown's there, so Troy Brown might say something that'll just nip it in the bud.
No, but if he's
he turns into the guy who doesn't want to play football again at the time when you really need him to play football.
Yeah. If he helps you win.
You know what I'd be worried about if I were Troy Brown?
What?
I'd be worried about Antonio Brown taping him and putting it on YouTube. That's more realistic than Troy Brown somehow solving the problem.
Yeah, no, I bet that may be already written in a contract.
Yeah, they need to take his devices away as soon as he walks in the door.
But that's not happening.
I would take a metal detector, and I'm scared, like the airport thing, like walk through that, and then you know that thing, put your hands up, and that thing comes right around you, that cone. You got something in your pocket. Take it out of your pocket. Then they had the scanner guys there.
The Patriots are not going to change who Antonio Brown is for his brief stay here.
Right.
From now until the
end of the
season.
Part of the narrative. I mean, there's a lot of parts of this that bug me, but that's none of that will go on here. What? He's just going to completely change his personality on the flight from Oakland to Logan?
They've got to find a way to tolerate his personality.
TF
Green. Thank you.
Talk to three Pittsburgh reporters that I still am very friendly with, I know, and Bill Hillgrove and Tunch and Wolfley and those guys that do the broadcast. Mm-hmm. Pretty much the, in summation, is have fun with that guy. Have fun with that guy. He is a problem. I said, wow.
We know he's a problem.
Thanks for the inside info, Pittsburgh.
I mean, they know the stories, and I think as it always happens, when a guy's out, you get, they really pile it on. You really get the stories once the guy leaves.
Oh, when he stopped wanting to play football last year at the end of the season for Pittsburgh when they were on the cusp of being a playoff
team?
He
showed up in a mean coat.
Hardy, remember that when he decided, I don't really feel like playing football today?
Right.
Oh, that guy?
But he showed up in a mink coat, so he was there to support the team.
Haven't played football since he decided he didn't want to play football last year for the Steelers. He hasn't played football. Does give you pause in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit?
There's definitely things to worry about.
The only thing you have to fall back on is based on what you saw last night. Okay, maybe they won't need another guy.
More on that coming up in just a bit. Read and React is next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help. LineMA.org.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's time to read.
I'm doing it, live read.
And react. With Zolak and Bertrand.
Oh my God, I spit inside my cheek.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Shut your mouth!
I haven't done that in a while.
What, bit the side of your cheek?
What, three weeks or so?
Yeah.
Yeah, a while. All right, let's get to
let's
it.
Do
read
this.
And react.
It's our first, kind of
first Monday read and react of the year.
This feels like the first one.
Okay.
Why you lift all them weights? Let's go.
His above the neck game is kind of exemplifies a guy that's probably been on his job for 20 years, you know?
React. This segment is going to exemplify this show. Everything about this show.
We got a great above the neck game here.
All right, so we're going to start with the Chiefs. They beat the Jags 40-26. Who called that game? Who picked that? Oh, that was me. But Tyreek Hill was injured.
You know what? I'm glad you picked it because it was irrelevant based on the awful selection that Tom Morgan had.
We'll get to it. Kansas City gave a very detailed explanation of Hill's injury. The first voice that we're going to hear is the PR guy from the Chiefs. Okay.
All right, so guys, our head trainer, Rick Burkholder, is going to give you a quick update on Tyreek. And
then
we'll go to coach. No questions for Rick. Thank you.
Okay.
They let their head trainer speak to the press?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Must be nice.
Right, thanks, Ted. On Tyreek Hill, he had an injury in the game where he landed on his shoulder. He had a sternoclavicular joint injury, which is where your collarbone comes into your sternum.
Jesus Christ.
Those can be injured either coming out the front, up top, or in the back. If it goes posteriorly or back, it becomes a medical issue for us, so that we worry that there's more problems. His came back posteriorly, and he didn't have any medical issues, but we still transported him to Baptist Medical Center, and we turned his care over to Brett Freichberg, who's an ortho trauma physician. Scott Mullen, one of our physicians, is with him. He's from the Kansas University Health System.
Coach Belichick, will you be releasing an injury report? Yeah, I'll put the report out.
And he's being treated there to reduce the dislocation or the injury. We don't have any more update on that.
Dislocated, and they were worried, okay, by the direction that it went, you know, pinching a nerve or blood vessels or arteries, so they hurry up and rush you to the hospital. So they thought there could have been something going on, so they got some better news on, but he's still out a couple weeks. Wow. Wow. Talk about descriptive.
That would be some kind of irony if Tyreek Hill ended up with a broken arm. How unfortunate Beetle. For such a wonderful human being.
How bad do you
feel
for this guy?
I always ask this question when he gets hurt. Is death imminent by any chance?
Yeah.
Any shot of that?
Garbage.
He's very thoughtful about the utilization of his eligibles.
React.
Do you think they knew Dorsett was eligible?
Do you know what happened there?
If
that was New England. Coach, any update on Tyreek Hill? No, I haven't even talked to him. I didn't see him. Talked to the trainers.
Who's that?
I just watched the film.
All right, Cowboys beat the Giants. Cowboys looking good, 35-17.
Yeah, because the Giants are so good. We sat here and talked to Mabel Friday, didn't we?
We did.
Hey, Mabel, what do you mean? You're not picking? Like, no, Mabel. We're picking
We're all
Dallas.
Picking the Cowboys.
Don't even watch. Relax.
So someone talking about the offense after the game. Is this going to be the offensive coordinator? Is this going to be someone on the coaching staff?
No, it's going to be the owner, of course.
Oh, it's Jerry Jones.
When have you felt this good about a team that you've had? I'm guessing it's been a pretty long time. Realistically.
I don't know that I've seen us any time. Put in place the 1-2 punch. I know that if they tried to put more up at the line to stop Emmitt back in those days, then Aikman would just pick them apart going down the field.
He is living in yesteryear.
No, he didn't.
He's slowly morphing into Ursay.
He's trying to tell us that he doesn't know if he's ever seen an offense as good as this one.
Yeah.
And one or the other. And I don't know that I've seen us since those days be able to take whatever the defense gives us and find an answer to it. I feel that. I saw us do that out there against the Giants today.
That's not as bad as I thought he was saying.
We sat there last preseason game, and we knew how bad the Giants were.
He's saying he thinks this might be the best offense since those days.
Yeah.
He's not necessarily wrong. I don't know how much of that game you saw, Zoe.
A little bit.
They look really good.
They do. They do look
good. I know they're playing against the crap bag Giants.
Dak had a great guy. Perfect rating.
Dak looked awesome, and the Cowboys offense looked great, and Amari Cooper looked great.
Do it four games in a row, then have those comments.
Yeah, no, I know.
This overreaction to week one is...
Just saying, out of the gate, they look really good.
I don't know if you saw Jerry Jones during that game. They showed him up in the owner's box, and maybe it was a bad light. He appears to have aged 20 years in this past offseason. My God.
He looked so good about 3 or 4 years ago when he had third facelift, and when they pulled everything back. Yeah. Now it's starting to all hang.
Starting to all come down.
Carrots. React.
Did he have any carrots up in the booth, you think?
Need a lot of pie.
Yeah. Browns got blew out by the Titans yesterday, 43-13.
Love it.
Here's Baker Mayfield in the post game.
What makes you most confident about this team's resiliency and being able to kind of shake this off?
Because everybody's going to throw us in the trash. I think that's good. I know what type of men we have in this locker room. Quite frankly, I don't really give a damn what happens on the outside. I know how we're going to react. I know what we're going to do, how we're going to bounce back. And we got a Monday night game coming up, so we don't really care. Where did you go?
Oh, you don't care? You just got embarrassed. Absolutely embarrassed by at home. Tennessee laughed at you.
I'd start caring.
Did you hear Delanie Walker?
I might care a little bit.
Delanie Walker said, we knew who they were. They are who we thought they were.
Do you know anything about Richard Mill watches? I've never heard of them. I don't know
anything about it. Well,
300,000.
Okay. Well, Odell Beckham Jr. confirmed to Dan Wetzel that he wore a Richard Mille watch on his left wrist in that game yesterday.
Well, you didn't know what time it is.
According to Dan Wetzel, that'll run you a few hundred grand retail. He stated that he has no fear of it breaking on the field in the violence of the NFL because he said, quote, it's indestructible.
Right.
That's what he was talking about after the game.
You know what's,
yeah,
you know what's not indestructible?
I wore my what is it, 300 Richard, grand?
Yeah, 300 grand. You know what's not indestructible is when you're running and that watch gets snagged on the helmet clasp of an opponent or gets wedged in their face mask.
Maybe you weren't listening. It's indestructible.
So. Right, but when that continues to rip, what isn't indestructible is your skin staying on your hand.
Oh, the actual arm.
Or your wrist.
That the watch is attached to.
Or a metatarsal.
According to this watch, this report I'm reading, it's $350,000.
Yeah.
Is how much the
but
watch.
But it's indestructible, but it rip your skin off.
Wise
rip
purchase.
Your face off.
That's good.
Squash.
Dolphins also got blew out 59-10. Ravens beat them in Miami. For this report, now we got to apologize for the quality here, but it's worth it. We go to WSVN. Whiskey's here, Victor November in Miami. This is sound from the fans in the parking lot. Okay?
It's a young team, talented team. I think they got the tools to make it 10-6.
We'll break 500. No, man, skip that. That is our punk. We ain't set up for less. Man, we going undefeated, right? That's right. You don't like it? It's a nice song. Find somebody with him.
Today's embarrassing loss already throws that prediction out the window.
I don't think the Dolphins is going to tank. But we are fish. If we tank, it's natural.
Oh,
if we tank, it's natural.
Because the fish live in the tank.
I get it.
See how that works?
I get what he's saying.
It's good audio. Did they send Nick Jamelli down to get that?
Well, it was recorded off of a television set, Zone.
Oh.
Just, you want to hear it or
I thought
not?
It was like a radio bit.
If we tank, it's natural.
Because we fish.
I get it.
Ha ha!
React. That's it for reading.
That's it?
That's it.
I like that one. That's good.
How many points can the Patriots score on Sunday?
I don't know. I'm gonna, don't even look at that. It's a weird game.
Why can't I do that?
Nope.
What do you mean it's a weird game?
Well, I'm still
because Brian
scarred
Flores.
Line moved from 13.5 to 14.5 in game last night. If you're just looking at the results of the two games yesterday, the line should be 30. But
35. Should be 35.5.
Wouldn't entice people to bet on it.
No.
14.5 entices people to bet on it.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
It's the best indication of the line having nothing to do with who's going to win by how
14.5 makes me want to bet on it.
50-50 action. That's what they
makes
want.
Makes me want to bet on it. Quick thought on the Red Sox, and we'll go right back to your calls on the football. We'll do that coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Alex, what's your reaction to the news about Dave Dombrowski?
I mean, I just found out, so surprise and shock. Obviously, right now I don't have too much to say. We'll talk a little bit more tomorrow, but this guy that gave me a chance to come here and be a big league manager, and it's one of those that they cut me, they just told me, so I'm not ready to talk about it.
Quick Dave Dombrowski thoughts.
Go.
Fired last night as the director of baseball, we'll say. President of baseball ops for the Red Sox is out. Fired last night after the game. It came after midnight last night. Do you think the timing is related to the Patriots, number one?
Yeah, I think it's perfect news dump.
Sure.
I don't think they're trying to stick. It's like, obviously, we're not even really going to talk about it because you're not stealing headlines. But you're just stuffing it down. I got a chuck out of it last night because that's your classic news dump. Just surprised it didn't happen at, 4:30 on a Friday.
There are rumors that it was not planned for last night. Rumors. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, we've been doing
I've heard some rumors in the media.
We've been doing a weekly show with Dan Shaughnessy, and he's been on this for a while.
Dan Shaughnessy wrote this in his column today in the Globe. Dombrowski wanted clarity on his situation, and that clarity came after the Red Sox 10-5 loss to the Yankees late Sunday night. What does that mean? He wanted clarity? Did he go to the team and say, am I in or out?
So Dan was in here with us last week, and I recall him saying, you know, it's very unusual for, John Henry or the Red Sox to not, like, if he's the guy, that they don't double down on it. And there's been no whispers of that.
It's also really unusual to fire a guy with 3 weeks to go in the season. You usually wait to the end of the season.
Wasn't he hired
this
like in
August?
This
is highly unusual to fire the guy when they did.
Wasn't he hired like in the month of August when they made the change?
Yes, he was.
I think he was, yeah. So, like, it's, the timing of everything with him, it's odd.
It's odd. So.
Oh, well, he won a championship last year. You thank him for opening his checkbook up to pay, or your checkbook.
There's all kinds of little nuggets of information in Dan Shaughnessy's column today, including that Dombrowski lost the support of Alex Cora. That was in his column saying, in the end, Dombrowski did not have much support from Alex Cora. No one in a Red Sox uniform was happy last week in Anaheim when Dombrowski failed to bring Major League arms to California, given that they had a 15-inning win on Friday night, and they had to use up their entire bullpen. He reiterates that Dombrowski was more isolated inside the walls at Fenway, holed up with his buddies, Frank Wren and Tony La Russa. He insisted that Sam Kennedy have zero input on all baseball decisions. He never clicked with the new CEO of the team. Dombrowski was not particularly close to the people in baseball ops or Tom Werner. So it seems that he had some issues within the walls at Fenway. He was fired late last night. Again, actually early this morning after midnight. And then there's this. When they officially announced it today, this at the end of the announcement of the departure of Dave Dombrowski. They don't call it a firing. They say they have parted ways with Dave Dombrowski in the official press release. And then there's this, the last line of the press release. There will be no formal media availability regarding today's announcement. The Red Sox will have regular media access prior to tonight's game. Oh, you cowards.
What a tuck tail.
You cowards.
Makes your pathetic year look more pathetic.
No ownership? No one's available?
Zero accountability.
No one's going to talk about this?
Presence. No. Just move on.
No one's going to talk about where your season's at?
Yeah, nobody.
Team is that? I get it. You guys won the World Series. Yeah. So listen, in the grand scheme.
They could keep talking about last year. They did a good job starting the year doing that.
You're less than a year removed from a World Series. So I get it. Listen, we're not killing you, but what the hell? Your season has been a disaster. You just had to fire your guy who runs the baseball side of things. And by the way, it's the right move. The team's doing the right thing.
Correct.
Hey, John Henry, thumbs up. You're doing the right thing today.
Why now, though?
But this is why you're cowards. You're going to leave it to your manager and your players? Because they had to go out and talk about it last night. They're going to have to talk about it again today. And no one else in the organization can step up to the microphone and just talk about it. The owner, I know that, you know, it's not necessarily Sam Kennedy's call, but somebody, nobody, Tom Werner, John Henry, Sam Kennedy, hello? Anybody in there?
Well, Sam does his weekly interview, doesn't
anybody
he?
Home? You guys are all busy today. No one's available to talk. No one's available today, tomorrow, this week. No press conference. That's ridiculous.
In our internal email.
Something.
Shh. Everybody, shh. Nobody talk about this. Dave already left.
So apparently they're not going to be heard from. Yeah. They got nothing to say.
Or talked about.
Dave Dombrowski's out less than a year from winning the World Series, and apparently they have nothing to say about
it. Have a good month.
That's ridiculous. And they're going to leave their players to answer for it again. Yeah. And they're going to leave Alex Cora to answer for it again.
See you in the
That's
spring.
That's sad. That's not right. Players don't deserve that. Nor does the manager. So the manager last night says, it's shocking. You know, we'll have more tomorrow. And so here he is today. He's going to be the only guy, the face of it again. The highest ranking Red Sox official today will be Alex Cora answering for why his boss was fired last night. Sweet. That doesn't scream of dysfunction. Awesome. So that's the quick thought on the Red Sox. Why don't we get right back into the Patriots?
Yes.
We'll do that in 90 seconds. Here are the headlines.
Thank God.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.